Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It really is a pleasure to be here answering your questions. We've got lots to talk about this hour. We invite your phone calls. 888-302-3684 is the way to get through, and we'll field your inquiry. We'll hopefully generate a lively discussion with you during this hour. And as I said earlier, one of the big stories this week, and we're going to talk about this in detail, has to do with the paleo diet that is getting a bad rap in U.S. News and World Reports. Who reads U.S. News and World Reports? I think, you know, back in this is back in 2008, they ceased publishing it weekly because of lack of interest. It's sort of like something like the Saturday Evening Post. It's a relic of times past, and now it's available via the internet. But they did a big splashy story that attracted a lot of attention. It released its rankings of the 32 of the most popular diets. And the headline is, "The Paleo Diet is a Horrible Way to Start the New Year." And we talked a lot about the paleo diet on Health Talk, the previous incarnation of Intelligent Medicine. It's something that I use with patients. I saw a patient with multiple sclerosis yesterday who is following a paleo diet. Paleo diet is eat like our ancestors used to eat. It is wheat-free, dairy-free. It's based on natural organic animal protein with lots of vegetables and fruits and nuts. But it virtually completely eschews grains and refined carbohydrates and sugars and all kinds of chemicalized foods. And this patient is doing great. She came in. She said, "I have very low energy. I'm lethargic." She had a limp, bladder problems. And she really is dramatically improved because she's adhering to it. I mean, she really stuck to her guns. So what the U.S. News and World Report has to say, they rank 32 of the most popular diets. On the healthy eating chart, it is topped by what is something called the DASH diet. Now, the DASH diet is a diet that was used in a study recently to demonstrate that diet can lower high blood pressure. And the DASH diet is a very low-fat diet, very low sodium, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, which is good. I'm all for that. But also lots of whole grains, very little meat and fat. And it is it's a quasi-vegetarian diet. And it tops the eating chart, according to this panel of experts, some of whom I know. I mean, they actually assembled a pretty prestigious panel of nutritionists and, quote, experts on diet. But there's an obvious bias there because they don't really know what they're talking about. I really doubt that any of them have any real-life experience with something like the paleo diet, which is a low-carb diet. They seem to have a bring to the table a bias against low-carb diets that incorporate animal protein. So, for example, paleo, it didn't quite come in last. It tied for 29th with the Dukan diet. If you don't know what the Dukan diet is, it's because it's popular in Europe. It's now made its way from France to England, and it is sort of like a South Beach diet. It's a lot of protein, very low-carb diet. You know, it's real popular across the pond. Only the Atkins and raw food diets ranked lower. The Atkins diet, they think, is horrible. I mean, it's going to kill you, right? Those of you who've tried the Atkins diet for weight loss, even for improvement of diabetes, you know otherwise. But the paleo, actually, was interesting because as soon as this article was launched in U.S. News and World Report, some people posted the article on my Facebook page, you know, because there are people that saying, "Well, what do you say, Dr. Hoffman?" And I invite you to follow me on Facebook. I've got, nearly 2,000 followers on Facebook, a lot of people following on Twitter, because that's a way to kind of get kind of a running commentary from me on the news of the day, even before I get on to my podcast and my radio show. But I posted a quick response from none other than Lauren Cordain. Lauren Cordain is the researcher who has done a lot to promote the paleo diet. And he's a very interesting guy because he really has studied human biology in relationship to what our ancestors ate. And for those of you who think that the paleo diet is just eating a lot of meat, it's not about that. Yes, you do eat animal protein because our ancestors did have access to animal protein, but there's lots of high-fiber fruits and vegetables because, you know, what we now consider fruit is highly domesticated. And what people ate in a paleo setting was much chewier, much higher fiber, and less calorically dense. But getting rid of some of the things, the processed food, the high sodium food, the food that is laced with bad fats, high levels of omega-6 fats and trans fats, enormously beneficial when people go on the paleo diet. And, you know, so he... I'm actually quoting from Lauren Cordain. You can Google Lauren Cordain's response to U.S. News and World Report, or you can follow me on Facebook. You can find the link there. What he's saying to you is, it is obvious that whoever wrote this piece in U.S. News and World Report did not do their homework, and they haven't read the peer-reviewed scientific papers which examined contemporary diets based upon the Paleolithic food groups. So he cites a study, very interesting study. The study's done back in 1984. This is done in Australia, where they have Aborigines. Now, Aborigines have a similarity with Native Americans, is that they're very prone to diabetes when they go on a Western diet. And so there's a very high incidence of these folks getting obese and diabetic. So they took 10 middle-aged Australian Aborigines who had been born in the outback, not Outback Steakhouse, but in the real outback. They lived their early days primarily as hunter-gatherers, and then they became civilized, and they started to have access to Western goods, and they particularly became overweight, developed type 2 diabetes, and they adopted a typical sedentary Western lifestyle. And so in 1984, a researcher in the journal Diabetes requested that these 10 middle-aged subjects revert to their former lives as hunter-gatherers for just a seven-week period, like a little experiment. Let's try this out. So instead of white bread, corn, sugar, powdered milk, and canned foods, they began to eat the traditional fresh foods of their ancestral past, which may not sound that appetizing to you, but this is paleo. Kangaroos, birds, crocodiles, turtles, shellfish, yams, figs, what are called yabbies, in Australia, that's crawfish. That's like Louisiana bayou food. Freshwater bream, that's a type of fish. And bush honey. They actually found wild honey. Well, the results were spectacular. This is just 7 weeks. It was beyond the expectation of even the guy who did the research. The average weight loss was 16.5 pounds, just 7 weeks. Cholesterol dropped 12%. Triglycerides went down a whopping 72%. Insulin and glucose metabolism became normal, and the diabetes disappeared in all the individuals. Okay? All right, so more research on this. You know, this is something that Lauren Cordain talks about. Comparison of the Mediterranean diet. That's really popular for patients with heart disease and diabetes. So lots of whole grains, low-fat dairy products, vegetables, fruits, omega-3 rich fish, olive oil. That's the Mediterranean diet. They compared 29 patients with type 2 diabetes and heart disease on the paleo diet versus the Mediterranean diet. The paleo diet excluded the grains, the dairy products, and less oils, less refined oils, because, frankly, in a paleo setting, you didn't guzzle olive oil, right? I mean, they didn't have it waved like olive presses, but there was actually greater consumption of meat and fish. After 12 weeks on either diet, blood glucose improved in both groups, but it was actually better in the paleo dieters. And it was found that the paleo diet was more satiating. It provided more satisfaction than the Mediterranean diet. So, the folks at U.S. News and World Report, they're biased. they've never really supervised anyone on a paleo diet program. They don't really know what they're talking about. They haven't looked at the research. And clearly, I can tell you that that is a way to go. Another way to go, and we're going to cover it during this hour. I talked to an amazing guy during one of my podcasts this week. You can access it at drhoffman.com/podcast. His name is Dr. Mark Mattson. He's a researcher at the National Institutes of Health, and he's going to talk to us. If you listen to the podcast, he'll talk to you. But I'm going to tell you about the intermittent fasting diet, a popular diet that's now sweeping Europe and Great Britain. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a little funny saying welcome back to Intelligent Medicine because for so many years, 25 years, I've said welcome back to Health Talk. That was the name of our show prior to this reincarnation, the rechristening of Health Talk as Intelligent Medicine in line with our new website coming out shortly, and the Intelligent Medicine podcast that you can find on drhoffman.com. It's a whole new world of information, health information available to you at drhoffman.com. All right, we're taking your phone calls, 888-302-3684, and we've got Mary on the line. How you doing, Mary?
Dr. Hoffman, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about a product that we heard about on your radio station called Endofin.
Yeah.
My son listens to you every Saturday, and he called and talked to someone in your customer service department, went yeah. over the drugs that I take, and that mm-hmm. person said he didn't see any conflict.
Mm-hmm.
What I have is a stubborn case of acid.
Right.
And I had an endoscopy done. They found that Barrett's esophagus
mm-hmm.
And, you know, reflux, which I don't ever seem to have as far as I know what reflux is, and gastritis and things
You may have silent reflux, but you say you
yeah.
have acid, so you have a sensation of acidity in your
yes.
throat or in your pressure in your chest. You do notice that there's something kind of
regurgitating,
in my throat. Right?
in my throat. And lately it's actually, I think, the roof of my mouth is being affected and probably comes up.
Well, you know, I got to say, we can talk about the product Endofen, but I have to say I see a lot of people with this type of problem. Now, you know, Barrett's esophagus is a concern because it's the so-called precancerous lesion that requires a lot of surveillance and that they want to put you on acid blockers for life for, because the cells have started to change. They think that the excess acidity is going to make them mutate more towards cancer. However, the likelihood of developing cancer with Barrett's esophagus is really quite low. Freaks out a lot of people. It also really juices the sales of powerful acid-blocking medications like Nexium and Prilosec. In order to treat that, you know, we'll get to Endofen in just a minute. Endofen is great for an ordinary case of GERD and reflux, and I would consider it for a patient like you. But, you know, when you have problems with mouth burning, it suggests that suppressing the acid for that long may have resulted in a case of oral thrush. That's a concern. You know, you may have yeast in your mouth that needs to be treated, you know, certainly via diet, but also via some medication to suppress that. I mean, that's what I, you know, there's more to it than what we would say on a phone call with a listener. Mm-hmm. We might do some testing, or we might do a trial of some antifungal medication to see if that helps the mouth burning. Okay, when it comes to Endofen, let's talk about Endofen. Endofen is a great product. It's actually a powder that can be dissolved in liquid. And it's amazing. I had a patient yesterday had very bad GERD. I saw her in the office, and she really loves this stuff. She takes it along with licorice lozenges. The type of licorice you want to use is DGL, because it's a good way to make sure that you reduce the inflammation. What's in Endofen is it contains plantain, it contains arabinogalactans, it contains phosphatidylcholine, green tea, and a bunch of nutrients that help to promote healing in your gastrointestinal tract. So it's a great way to deal with reflux, which is a huge problem. It's probably, you know, tens of millions of Americans who suffer from GERD or reflux. And the green tea is great because green tea actually has an anti-esophageal cancer effect. So that's good. We also like to use other antioxidant nutrients there. I think resveratrol can be helpful. Pomegranate extract can be helpful. Probiotics can be helpful, too, for treating Barrett's esophagus and GERD. So those are some of the things that we might consider in your case. You know, do you have any other medical problems, or are you on, you say you're on various medications, right?
Yeah, I had, I was taking for a long time the Prevacid and then it Omeprazole.
Right.
And
Nexium,
it,
yeah.
Is that, oh, yeah, and it just all of a sudden started to give me terrible side effects. I was afraid I had that C. diff thing, and I stopped taking it.
In other words, lower intestinal problems. Well, that's actually one of the, I mean, see, a lot of people are told by their doctors, look, you know, you have GERD, you have Barrett's esophagus, so stay on these medications for the rest of your life because it'll protect you from cancer. Okay, that theory, that may be the case, although studies have not really substantiated that. The problem is that if you take ulcer medication like that, powerful ulcer medication, you will increase your likelihood of severe dysbiosis, or overgrowth of harmful bacteria in your intestinal tract, even C. diff, which is, you know, terrible diarrhea that's just very, very hard to knock out. Antibiotics sometimes have to be used, but it's even with antibiotics, it's hard to cure that. Also, you increase your risk for osteoporosis. You increase your risk for pneumonia with these medications. So this is a problem. You know, too many Americans are on what are called proton pump inhibitors, powerful drugs that destroy your stomach acid. Endofen is available from our website. Check out drhoffman.com, the store. Endofen is great for GERD. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hey, Hey, Joe, have you ever heard the joke about the guy who can't walk and chew gum at the same time? Well, not only can I walk and chew gum, but I can improve my dental health all at the same time, too.
Seriously, Fred, how does that work?
It's easy. I chew Spry xylitol gum. It's gum with a purpose. Spry is an all-natural gum made with xylitol, not sugar or artificial sweeteners. It tastes great and comes in 5 flavors. You know, Joe, bacteria can't break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. My mouth feels fresh, clean, and healthy.
So who makes Spry?
Spry is made by the folks at Clear. They also have xylitol mints. It's so cool. Like me. My dentist totally recommended it, and it costs the same as regular gum and mints, but you get the added health benefits.
Put the Spry back in your step, and you can walk, chew gum, and help your dental health all at the same time, too. Spry gum and mints are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food retailers nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And, okay, it's the beginning of the year, and actually I was in a Barnes & Noble's the other day to get a Nook. I wanted a backlit Nook, and I saw that an entire table was piled high with new diet books, some of them really preposterous. But it's January, folks. That's what the publishing industry calls for. And if you write a diet book, this is the time of year to launch it because people are in a state of contrition. They're repenting after weeks of chowing down with all kinds of holiday fare. January, people feel chastened and they want to lose weight. So that's why all the diet books get cranked out. And, paleo diet, that's one thing that I think that's a popular option. I'm all for low-carb dieting, eliminating allergens, wheat and dairy being a big problem for a lot of people. But here's another one that I am calling as one of the big diet trends for 2014, and it hasn't quite made its way over to the United States. In England, very popular site, thefastdiet.co.uk. That's a British website. Just put into your Google search, The Fast Diet. I'm calling it like Babe Ruth called, you know, his home run. He just pointed to the right field bleachers, and then he belted it out of the park. Or maybe that's an apocryphal story, but let's see if my predictive abilities are good. Headline from the Los Angeles Times: intermittent fasting, or IF, gains ground as a dieting tool. Okay, what the heck is that? Intermittent fasting. Well, we know if you fast, you're going to starve yourself. You're going to lose weight. But that's not what this is about. This is actually a scientific formulation of alternating between normal food intake and slightly reduced caloric intake. It's referred to as IF, or intermittent fasting. And we did a great podcast with a guy at the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Mark Mattson. You can find it at drhoffman.com/podcast. And this guy's a pure scientist. He's not pushing anything. He hasn't written a diet book. He doesn't have like a, you know, Meals on Wheels plan to send you diet foods. He's just studying this. He's written over 400 scientific papers studying animals and humans utilizing intermittent fasting. And it's amazing, the results. The fast diet, in its incarnation in England, was developed by Dr. Michael Mosley, and it's real popular, and is sometimes referred to as the 5-2 diet, which means you get to eat regular. I mean, you can't eat badly. You got to eat a clean diet 5 days, but on 2 days, you don't even fast. You actually just eat a very low-calorie diet, about 600 calories a day. So that might be like a salad with some turkey slices, maybe some nuts, you know, just maybe, you know, a handful of fruit, that's what you eat. So it's very, very light on 2 days per week. And this guy has written a lot of scientific papers on this, but here I have an article entitled Beneficial Effects of Intermittent Fasting and Caloric Restriction on Cardiovascular and Cerebrovascular Systems. It's a little fancy, but I'll try and break it down for you. Intermittent fasting, he writes, can increase lifespan even when there is little or no overall decrease in caloric intake. Did you catch that? So in effect, over the course of a week, you might not be eating less calories. You just break it up. You cycle a little bit. And what's interesting about this is that it is very paleo in the sense that our Paleolithic ancestors didn't have hot and cold running food. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have 7-Elevens and Quickie Marts. So when there was food, great. And when there wasn't, there was a little bit of deprivation. And the body is designed to go through periods of intermittent, mild deprivation, even starvation. And that's why traditionally part of healing has been putting people on fasts. It's been shown that in rheumatoid arthritis, for example, putting people on a short fast or very light eating program, a detox program, can dramatically reduce the inflammation associated with a condition like rheumatoid arthritis. Many other conditions respond. People who have sky-high cholesterol and diabetes respond to fasting. But you don't have to go on a terribly restricted long-term fast that takes you out of your routine. You can just incorporate a 5-2 plan, as Dr. Mattson documents in this article. Diseases responsible for death in animals, such as cancers, diabetes, and kidney disease, are delayed or prevented by intermittent fasting. What are the benefits? Increased insulin sensitivity. That means less insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes. Reduced levels of oxidative stress. Increased resistance to various types of stress. Enhanced immune function. These are some of the benefits. When it comes to the brain, intermittent fasting diets enhance synaptic plasticity. That's the ability of neurons to rearrange themselves so that they promote memory and connection and, in fact, regenerate from stem cells so that the brain constantly remodeling itself. It's not just a consistent downhill process. You can actually revive your brain through intermittent fasting. Studies on rodents, monkeys, and humans suggest that intermittent fasting can decrease LDL cholesterol levels while increasing HDL cholesterol levels. Intermittent fasting reduces inflammatory processes. And on it goes. Intermittent fasting can improve outcomes following heart attack, according to research. You can reduce the production of free radicals, thereby reducing oxidative damage to cells. Because what are you doing? You're giving the body a rest. Levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that's BDNF, that's something that promotes the production of new neurons in your brain, increase in rats and mice maintained on an intermittent fast. Now, what's interesting is you might say research is going to show that, well, you tell people to restrict their intake on 2 days, then they're just going to hit the food bag on those days when they're allowed a normal diet. Well, most studies show no, that is not the case. The people don't compensate on the off days. What about compliance? Because, you know, who's going to do this? Because 2 days, you're just going to gonna be kind of hungry. That's unpleasant. Well, a British study reported in the British Journal of Nutrition in 2013 found more stick-to-itiveness among intermittent fasting diets than among daily dieters. So that's pretty good, because like day in, day out, you have to, I got to reduce my calories every single day. But if you can eat fairly normally 5 days and then 2 days, you pretty drastically restrict, that might be more manageable. All right. Interesting new diet trend. Mosley himself exemplifies the success of this. He lost nearly 20 pounds on the diet. And he's now keeping it off with just 1 day of restricted eating. He says, when I first started, I found it quite difficult to do as I got distracted by occasional hunger pangs, but I found that these hunger pangs soon passed. All right, intermittent fasting, a diet trend that might be for you in 2014. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
So glad we ate before we got on the plane.
Oh, me too. Would you like some gum or mints?
What kind do you have?
Spry gum and mints, made with xylitol from the folks at Clear. Both refreshing and good for you. Perfect for when it's not possible to brush your teeth.
Oh, like right now on the plane?
Exactly. You know, bacteria can't break down xylitol, which leads to better dental health. I love it. My teeth feel squeaky clean and my breath is so fresh.
That's great. Give me some. Oh, I wish we could find something to help with the dry air on this plane, too.
Well, Clear makes an all-natural xylitol spray for your nose and sinuses that soothes and moisturizes while not being addictive or harsh. Perfect for airplane travel.
Wow, Clear products really do all that?
Yes, they do. It's the xylitol in them. My whole family uses Clear xylitol products when we travel.
Where can I get them?
You can find Clear and Spry at your favorite health food stores. You know, like Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and Sprouts.
I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I believe that skincare does not need to be complicated. Here's my simple program. In the morning, protect your skin with my daytime cream. Daytime is an SPF 20 sunscreen with niacin and moisturizers. In the evening, feed your skin with my nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamin C and A, fruit acids, and antioxidants. And wash your face with Clean Time, my wonderful smelling soap that's made without SLS or preservatives. Feed, protect, and clean. That's all it takes to have truly beautiful skin. Skin that is smoother, less splotchy, and with less wrinkles. Order Dr. Perry's skincare by calling 855-940-1500 weekdays. That's 855-940-1500, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Use the RON2 code and receive a free second bottle of Nighttime when you order a kit.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a caller. Joe is from the Bronx. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Hoffman?
Good.
My question has to do with fish oil and fish oil supplements. A relative of mine, we were talking about fish oil, and he mentioned that he'd heard about a study where one doctor had taken all his prostate cancer patients off it. Mm-hmm. because he cited a link between the use of fish oil and,
yep,
and the worsening of the prostate cancer or the cause of it.
Right. Okay, so Joe, this is something that we spent a lot of time thoroughly debunking it was probably about 6 months ago. And when it came out, I mean, it was like startling, like, oh my goodness, fish oil worsens prostate cancer. But then, you know, I got a hold of the study and I looked at it, and then I talked to many of my colleagues and saw what they had to say about it. And really good scientists have looked at that study and they say it's garbage, because in fact, it didn't even look at whether men were taking fish oil or consuming fish. It measured levels in their blood of omega-3, and then it correlated them in some way to the incidence of prostate cancer. Now, you know, one argument you could make is that some of the fish oil or some of the fish that they may have been consuming, rich in omega-3, it wasn't the highest quality, that it may have contained contaminants. And we know that dioxins, which are present in bottom-feeding fish and poor-quality fish oils, may actually contribute to reproductive cancers, breast cancer in women, and prostate cancer possibly in men, although the study really doesn't have a lot to say about prostate cancer, because a lot of studies have shown that fish consumption and higher intake of omega-3 prevents prostate cancer. That makes sense, because in Japan, where they consume enormous amounts of omega-3-rich fish, there's very little prostate cancer indeed. And it also makes sense from the standpoint of mechanistically, naturally because prostate cancer may be encouraged by inflammation. And fish oil is a wonderful anti-inflammatory and in general prevents cancers. So, I got to say, this is an example of some of the really dumbed down headlines, really some poor quality reporting that we've seen in 2013, suggesting that fish oil is bad, suggesting that supplements are worthless. If you actually look at the studies themselves and apply a little bit of critical faculties to them, you find that they're poor quality studies and they don't merit the headlines. Check out drhoffman.com for an article. Actually, we're a couple of articles on that subject. If you go into our search box at drhoffman.com, put in fish oil, you'll track down the articles that I've written recently on that subject. I've been quite active trying to do damage control on anti-supplement bias. All right, our number, 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Let's talk now to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
I have Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease, okay.
Mm-hmm. I've done really well with it, actually. But I've got a couple areas supposedly in my intestinal tract, small intestine, that are strictured. I don't know how long
right.
or anything.
That means, for our listening audience, strictured means they're scarred, they're narrowed, so food passage is sometimes delayed and sometimes food gets stuck, so you have to be careful what you eat.
Right. Well, except that I'm not. I eat anything and everything. I mean, I've been lucky that way, and I don't generally seem to have a problem and stuff. But I'm wondering if you have that stricture there and it's all scar tissue, are you really getting any nutrient absorption through that area of your intestinal tract?
Well, I work with a lot of patients who have Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And in fact, many patients have undergone surgery. So they actually have large segments of their intestine removed even.
Right.
So you don't even have that. You've not had surgery.
I've had one surgery, and they took out 6 to 8 inches of my small intestine at the end of it and reattached it to the large.
Okay. So there are certain areas of the intestine that are responsible for absorption of certain nutrients. So the area that is in question with you is called the ileum or the terminal ileum, and that's responsible for B12 absorption. So you really have to be checked. You have to get blood tests. The average person, if you're on a poor diet, you could have any number of deficiencies. But the average person on a balanced diet is less likely to have deficiencies. Not always, but less likely. Sick people and people with especially gastrointestinal problems often have nutrition deficiencies, and that's why we test for critical nutrients. We'll test for vitamin D. We'll test for magnesium. We'll test for B12 and folic acid. We'll sometimes test for fat-soluble nutrients like vitamin E and beta-carotene. In your case, I would say be particularly careful about B12 deficiency because the part of your intestine that's damaged and part that's actually been removed is responsible for B12 absorption. So, what's the workaround? Sometimes you can take additional supplements by mouth. And for some of our patients who have very serious ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, they're sick. It's hard for them to eat. We give them intravenous nutrition. We actually give them injections. Literally bags of some of the nutrients that have a healing effect. Because paradoxically, you've got this condition, and it's an inflammatory condition. It puts bigger demands on your body. Your nutrition is poor because you don't feel like eating, and you're malabsorbing. And that creates a vicious cycle. So you can break the vicious cycle by providing patients either orally with the right nutrients or giving them intravenously until they heal. And then many patients, once they heal, they're able to wean off the intravenous therapies. It's a popular way that we have of turning the corner on our sick patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And by the way, you know, the suggestion for you, I'm glad you're doing well, but diet is very important, and you really should pay attention to it if you have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. I've written extensively on this, but one resource for you, a book I wrote an introduction to, is Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gottschall. That provides you with a how-to on a really, really potent tool in the treatment of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. It's the specific carbohydrate diet. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for downloading our podcast. We reached a record of over 90,000 podcast downloads in November. So check out drhoffman.com/podcast for more content. Thanks for joining us. This is Intelligent Medicine.